This is Dwayne Norman, and you've just tuned in to Victory in the Word again. I'm so glad that you have joined me. We're going to have a great time studying God's Word in this broadcast. And I want us to go back over to John chapter 6. Remember, as we teach on the mystery of Christ, we're talking about our union with Christ. We're talking about how that our Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior, not only is with us, but He lives in us, and we live in Him. We're in Him. He's in us. The Bible says we're bone of His bones and flesh of His flesh. It says that he that's joined to the Lord, that's us, we're joined to the Lord Jesus, aren't we? He that's joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. So you and I, as believers, we're one spirit with the Lord, aren't we? And we need to become much more conscious of that, more every day. That everything that God is, who God is, what He has, all of His abilities and power and resources are all in Christ within us. Remember, the Bible says in Colossians 2, 9 and 10 that the fullness of the Godhead dwelled in Jesus bodily. That means when Jesus walked this earth almost 2,000 years ago, the fullness of the Godhead dwelled in Him. In Him, in His physical body. I mean, think about that with me now. Think about how huge that is, how great that is, and what that means. That the fullness of the Godhead, that's everything God is, everything God has, all of His power. Remember, God's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. God can do anything. And the fullness of God, our Heavenly Father's entire Godhead, dwelled in Jesus bodily. In other words, Jesus' physical body was filled with the fullness of the Godhead, filled with the Spirit of God, filled with God's fullness. Jesus, you could say, when He walked this earth in a physical body, He was our proof that God could live in a human being. Praise God. I mean, think about that for a minute too. The Lord Jesus was our proof that God could live in a human being. Jesus was our proof that that Almighty God, the eternal God who always was, is, will always be, the true and one and only God, and all of His glory, all of His power, all of His all of His fullness could dwell inside a human being, inside the spirit of a human being. And of course, your spirit's in your body. Therefore, could dwell inside the body of a person. But see, the Lord Jesus set the example for us. He was our proof. Wow, I just like thinking about that. Just kind of meditating on that a little bit, chewing on that a minute. That the Lord Jesus was our proof for you and me that God Himself could come dwell in us, that we, that humans, could become the temple of the Spirit of God. That we could become God's house. See, we're God's house. We're God's church on this earth. Yes, we have physical churches we attend and we go to, but that natural building is not the church. The church of God, or the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, many times meets in a natural building and in a physical building to worship God and to fellowship. But see, as Christians, we're the church, aren't we? The fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ in us bodily now. See, our physical body now is the dwelling place of the fullness of God. Now, well, again, what that means is, remember, we're made up of three parts as human beings, spirit, soul, and body. The real you is your spirit, man. You possess a soul, which according to the teaching of the soul in the Bible, the soul is made up of your will, mind, intellect, emotions, and you live in a physical body. So the real you is your spirit, of course. Remember, God created man in His image, and Jesus said in John 4, 24 that God is a spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. So God created us in His image, as spirit beings. So the real you is your spirit man. You possess a soul, and you live in a physical body. So my physical body that on this earth that you see, if you were to look at me, if we were to meet, my physical body is not the real me. It's part of me, but it's not the real me. The real me is my spirit. My spirit and my soul indwell my physical body. And Jesus lives in my spirit, man. And the fullness of the Godhead is in Him. Therefore, that means the fullness of the Godhead is in you and me, in Christ within us. Wow. Praise God. Praise God. The fullness of the Godhead is in us. Now see, nobody could have that or experience that until after Jesus died and arose from the dead. That's the greatness and the awesomeness of the new birth. of being born again. Wow, of being a new creation in Christ. So, you know, just thinking about that should make you more excited about who you are in Christ. Should make you more excited about getting up every day and putting on Christ. Putting off that old man and putting on the new man. Now, you know, when the Bible teaches us to put off the old man, it doesn't mean you're still the old man. No. But see, you can act like the old man if you want to. You can still lie, you know, cheat, drink, cuss, smoke. You can still, you know, have bad thoughts. You can still operate in fear and depression. You can still act like that old man if you want to, even though that's not you. See, even though you and I are new creations in Christ, it's not an automatic thing. See, God didn't say through Paul, now that you're a new creation in Christ, just relax every day and that new man will just come out of you and will put himself on. You don't have to do anything. No. The Bible says in Ephesians that we as Christians, we who are new men in Christ, when I say men, I mean men and women now, we who are new men in Christ, we have to put on the new man. See, God didn't say God will put on the new man for us. It didn't say my spouse will put on the new man for me. No. Paul said two things. He said, we, you and I, the new creation in Christ, we have to put off the old man and we have to put on the new man. Well, the very fact that he said that means it's not an automatic thing, right? But also, when you think about it, because the Holy Spirit told us to put off the old man, that's proof. Listen, that's proof that the old man must truly be dead and gone. Because, see, how could you put off the old man if you're still the old man? And how could you put on the new man if you're not a new man? See, if you're still the old man, you couldn't put off the new man. I like to use this example. You know, a dog barks. That's what they do. Dogs don't meow like cats, do they? Dogs bark. Why? Because that's the dog's nature. Now, if I could talk to a dog and it could understand me, and if I were to speak to the dog and say, I want you to put on a cat every day from now on. I want you to talk and act like a cat. I want you to meow and act like a cat all the time. Well, see, the dog couldn't do that. See, you might be able to physically try to train the dog to do that certain times, you know, by giving him treats and trying to train him and to do something a cat does. But see, when you leave that dog alone, you know what he's going to do? He's going to act like his nature. He's going to act like who he is, which is a dog. So see, for me to tell a dog, you need to put off being a dog every day and put on being a cat. Well, see, that wouldn't be true, would it? See, the dog could not do that. Why couldn't he do that? Because he's not a dog. I mean, he's not a cat. See, his nature's still a dog, isn't it? Now, if I told that dog you need to put off being a cat and put on being a dog, well, he can do that, can't he? See, that's easy to do. But see, the reason he can be a dog is because he is. See, the reason that God told you and me as Christians to put on the new man, the whole reason he told us to do that is because that's who we are. See, that's proof that you are a new man and the old man's dead and gone. Wow, praise God. But see, all my point, my whole point in bringing all that out right now is to remind you that the reason we can do that, the reason we're new men in Christ, the reason we can put off the old man and put on the new man, and the whole reason now that the fullness of the Godhead dwells in us bodily is all because of our union with Christ. It's all because of what Jesus did for us 2,000 years ago. What Paul refers to as the mystery of Christ. It's all because Jesus came here originally. He came here for us first and represented us and identified himself with us so we could be identified with him. Wow, he did all that for you and me. Because he's made us one spirit with him. You and I are in union with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Wow, praise God. We're in union with Christ, aren't we? And you know, these verses that I read to you over in John chapter 6, this message that Jesus preached about eat my flesh and drink my blood, see, it'll mean a lot more to you now. The better you understand who you are in Christ, what it means to be in Christ and the Lord Jesus to be living and abiding in you, the more real and exciting this message will be that Jesus preached over here in John chapter 6. So let me read to you some of those verses again. I want to read these verses one more time. John chapter 6. Verses 47 through 58. So I'm going to read, looks like about 11 verses. So wherever you are right now, if you don't have a Bible where you can follow along with me, wherever you are, if you're driving or whatever you're doing, just relax and just listen to the word and just receive God's word right now. But listen to what the Lord Jesus said. He said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life." In other words, he starts off by saying that if you're born again, that's what that means, to believe on him and in him, you have everlasting life. You have the life of God, Zoe life, abiding in you. And then Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." See, what he's doing, he's using the analogy of eating bread, because bread is food and bread sustains us, doesn't it? And he's relating that to his flesh and his blood, about how that by him coming to this earth and taking on a physical body and suffering for us, dying and arising from the dead, he gave his flesh, he gave his blood, he gave his entire being for us, so we could have life and become Christians and be sons of God in Christ Jesus. Then it goes on to say that the Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" See, they had no idea what he was talking about. They're just thinking, they think he's talking about his physical body and blood, and he wasn't. He's not talking about cannibalism here at all. No, he's simply using his flesh and blood as symbolism, as an illustration to help us to understand our union with him. Wow. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." See, and then we talked about that last time. See, that's what Jesus was really trying to get across to them. He's really sharing a revelation that they would not fully understand until they were born again. But all he was doing was using his flesh and blood as an example, a symbol, as an illustration of to demonstrate our union with him. So what he said was that when you abide in me and I'm abiding in you, then that's the same as eating my flesh and drinking my blood. See, can you see that? I hope you can see that. He goes on to say, "As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me," now that makes me want to stop and think about that. "He who feeds on me, he who feeds on me will live because of me." He said, "This is the bread which came down from heaven," and of course he's referring to himself. "Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead, he who eats this bread will live forever." In other words, he's saying, he's relating to that manna. He said, your fathers, the Jewish people in the wilderness many years ago, God rained down physical bread. It was called manna for them. And it physically sustained their bodies, but then they ended up dying. And Jesus is saying, they ate that manna for sustenance. I am your bread now. And when you eat me, that is when you fellowship in my word and you feed on my word, when you eat my flesh and drink my blood, when you become one with me, you know, your physical body may end up dying on this earth, but spiritually you'll live forever and you'll receive a glorified body later on too. But Jesus said, "I'm the bread of life, and when you eat this bread, you will live forever." Praise God. Hallelujah. So again, let me read verse 56 to you. John 6, verse 56. The Lord said, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." I just want to hit on that a little bit more there, because we really need to get a hold of this better. So I tell you what, let me give you just a real simple example. I mean something really simple you can relate to. What I want you to do is, in your mind right now, in your mind, picture me holding, just imagine, picture me holding a cheeseburger in my hand. You know, where you can clearly see both the cheeseburger and me. Can you picture that right now? Can you see the cheeseburger? Can you see me? And you could say that I'm separated from that cheeseburger, aren't I? See, in your mind, you see me hold the cheeseburgers in my hand, but in one sense, I'm separated from it, right? Because you can see the cheeseburger. Or matter of fact, let me say it this way. Instead of holding it in my hand, because, you know, that way it won't even be touching me. Let's say I set the cheeseburger on the table. Say I'm in my kitchen, I set the cheeseburger on the dining room table, and I'm standing by the table now. Now, can you picture that? Can you see the cheeseburger on the table? And then you see me standing there. So you see both of us, don't you? Now, can you see that I'm not part of that cheeseburger yet, am I? See, I told you this is a real simple example, but it'll get my point across here. You know, right now you see me standing by the table and you see a cheeseburger on the table. But I'm not part of that cheeseburger yet, am I? And the cheeseburger's not part of me. As long as the cheeseburger's on the table, it's not part of me, is it? So how do I become one, you could say, with the cheeseburger? How do I become one with the cheeseburger? What do I need to do? What I want you to say is I need to eat it, don't I? And I want you to say that because remember Jesus said, as I just read in John 6:56, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. So what do I need to do to become one with that cheeseburger? I need to eat it. See, the process of eating it is how I become one with the cheeseburger. See, that's why the Lord Jesus is using the symbolism of eating his flesh and drinking his blood simply to illustrate the point of being one with him, of coming into union with him. And that's how we are. Every one of us are that. We are where you are that way in Christ. Praise God. Now, if it's a glass of water, say, sitting on my dining room table, and I'm standing, you know, by the table next to the glass of water, and you see the water there on the table, and you see me standing next to the water's not one with me, is it? But what would I need to do for that water in the glass to become part of me? Of course, you know the answer. I'd need to drink it. See, we're getting into eating and drinking now. You can see probably why Jesus used that illustration, because see, people could relate to eating and drinking. When you eat something or drink something, what happens? It goes into you, doesn't it? See, the process of eating and drinking is how I become one with the cheeseburger and the water. It's how the burger and I come into union with each other. Now, once I eat it, it becomes part of me, doesn't it? You won't see the cheeseburger anymore, will you? See, you can say we have become one with each other. Isn't that what the Bible says? 1 Corinthians 6:17. It says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Praise God. Man, I want you to see your union with Christ better than you've ever seen it. Because see, the more you see and understand your union with Christ, the more you'll know that everything you'll ever need, all the money, all the whatever, the equipment, transportation, peace, joy, wisdom, what anointings, power, gifts, whatever you'll have, whatever you will ever need or desire the rest of your life is already in Christ in you. Everything's already in you in Christ. You just have to learn to use your faith to appropriate it, to get it out of you into the natural realm. Glory to God. But see, now listen, the way I experienced that union, you could say, with the cheeseburger, is when I ate it. The way I experienced that union with the water is what? When I drank it. See, when I teach believers what it means to be in Christ, I like to bring out the point that since I'm in Christ, I am no longer myself. See, I want you to think about that. See, my wife and I, we travel all the time and minister in churches and we train believers. We're constantly teaching and training Christians in supernatural evangelism and what their ministries are and who they are in Christ and how to, in the mystery of Christ and how to demonstrate God's kingdom on the earth today, outside the four walls of the church, especially in the power and the glory of God and the gifts of the Spirit, how to fulfill all God's called us to do. And you know, when I'm teaching about who we are in Christ, I like to bring out the point that now that I'm in Christ, what it means to be in Christ, what it means to be in union with Jesus, means that I'm no longer by myself. Listen closely. I'm no longer by myself. You know, Galatians 2:20 in the King James Bible says, nevertheless, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Remember that? He said, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now, please pay close attention here. And I want you to think about this, because I want to make a statement here. I want to really register on your spirit. And I want to say it this way. There is no such thing as Dwayne Norman apart from Christ. If your name is Mary and you're a Christian, then you can say the same thing. There's no such thing as Mary apart from Christ. Yes, it's true that Dwayne Norman without Christ cannot do anything and does not have anything. That's very true. Without Jesus, I would have nothing and I could do nothing. But see, that Dwayne Norman doesn't exist anymore. That's what I want you to get a hold of. I'm not without Jesus. See, I don't need to be spending all my time thinking about what it would be like to be without Jesus. See, I used to be that way, then I got saved. I'm 62 years old now, and I got saved back when I was 14, around 1971, very close to around Easter time. But as soon as I confessed Jesus as my Lord and believed in my heart that God raised him from the dead, that's when I got born again. That's when I quit being Dwayne Norman by himself. That's when I came into union with Jesus. You could say that's when I ate Jesus' flesh and drank his blood. That's when I came into him and he came into me, and the Father made me a brand new man in Christ, made me his righteousness in Christ. So again, Dwayne Norman does not exist anymore apart from Jesus. He doesn't exist anymore apart from Christ. See, until you see that, then you won't have a very strong revelation or reality of your union with Christ. Because the more your union with Christ becomes real to you, the more you'll only see yourself in Christ and Jesus in you. You won't see yourself by yourself anymore, because you know that you don't exist anymore without Jesus. Dwayne Norman does not exist anymore without the Lord Jesus. Now, let's go back to our example of the cheeseburger. Remember that cheeseburger that I ate? See, you can say it the same way, that the cheeseburger does not exist by itself any longer, does it? See, you can't find that cheeseburger, can you? Why can't you find it? Because it became one with me. See, we are completely united with each other. I'm talking about me and the cheeseburger now. We are completely united with each other. You cannot separate me from the cheeseburger, and you can't separate the cheeseburger from me. Yes, it's true. You can talk about what that cheeseburger was, what it was like, listen, before it became one with me, when it was sitting on my dining room table. You can talk about that cheeseburger, what it was like, you know, all by itself. But that part, listen now, that part of the cheeseburger's life is over with, isn't it? Did you hear that? That part of the cheeseburger's life is over with. See, the cheeseburger does not exist any longer by itself. That cheeseburger has become one with me from now on. And see, that's how as Christians, we have to see ourselves. From now on, I'm not by myself anymore. Yes, I know without Christ, I can't do anything. I know I don't have anything without him, but the good news is I'm not without him anymore. See, I'm in Jesus. Jesus is in me. I'm one spirit with my Father. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit, and so are you. I'm born of the Spirit of God, born of the Word of God, born of love. God is love. I'm one spirit with God. Wow, praise God. Can you see this? Man, this is so rich and so important. Now, I want you to think about your identification with Christ. See, it's not just about you anymore. You could say it this way, that you have been swallowed up in Christ. You know, I would say excuse the pun, but no, listen to the pun here. Just like I ate that cheeseburger and it became one with me, see, that you could say that cheeseburger was swallowed up in me, wasn't it? Well, you and I, because we're in Christ and he's in us, see, we have been spiritually swallowed up in Christ. Man, I like saying that. Oh, wow, that's good, isn't it? I have been swallowed up in Christ. You have been swallowed up in Christ. You ought to say that with me. Say, I have been swallowed up in Christ. Say, the Lord Jesus lives in me and I live in him. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you that I'm one spirit with you. I'm joined to you. We're one. I'm not by myself anymore. I have been swallowed up in you. I have eaten your flesh and drank your blood, and now I'm constantly feeding on you. You're abiding in me and I'm abiding in you. Glory to God. Man, see, those are just great confessions to make. See, can you see now even better how strong and secure your union is with Jesus? You both are one with each other. You are one with the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, praise God. Now, of course, I remember what it was like without Jesus. See, I'm not denying that. I'm not saying I don't remember what it was like before I got saved. No, that's part of your testimony. You tell people where you came from and, you know, and what your life was like before you got saved and then what Jesus did for you after you got saved. So I'm not saying that you have to, you can't remember where you came from. No, of course not. You're going to always remember that. My point is to major on where you are now in Christ. That's my point. See, I remember what it was like without Jesus, and I praise God, and I give him all the glory for all that he delivered me from. But see, my old life is dead and gone. I don't dwell on that anymore. See, the Bible does not tell me to focus my attention every day on who I used to be. Now, this is something else Christians need to hear. Listen closely. The Bible does not tell me to focus my attention every day on who I used to be. But it does tell me to acknowledge, that is to confess and focus my attention on every good thing in me in Christ. Remember, Paul said that in Philemon, verse 6. He's only got one chapter, verse 6. Paul said, if you want your faith to become effective or energized, you need to acknowledge. That word acknowledge means you need to focus, you need to recognize, you need to confess, you need to acknowledge every good thing in you in Christ. You go back and read that verse, Philemon, verse 6. Paul doesn't say that you need to also acknowledge who you are without Jesus. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us to acknowledge who we are without Christ. It tells us to acknowledge who we are with Christ and in Christ. What's the Bible say that the weak are to say? The Bible says, let the weak say they're what? Say they're strong, not weak. It says, let the poor say they're what? Broke? No, let the poor say they're rich. That means let the new creations say they're new creations. The old man is dead and gone. And see, we need to believe that. Glory to God. We have a new identity in Christ Jesus, don't we? Let's start learning our identity. Let's get more established in our identity in Christ and start putting on the new man and acting like that new man that's in union with the risen Christ Jesus. And stay in the Word every day. That's where the victory's at.